Lord, I am determined to go on from here and to do your will in the world and even in my personal life. Oh God, we ask that you would anoint us in this moment, that your word may speak life into our situations, and that we may hear from you. Grant us your power. Pass us by, O God, and let us touch the hem of your garment. Let there be a sweet fragrance in the air. And may your name be glorified through these words. Lord, let your people hear from you and not just a man. Through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Ebenezer and friends, online guests, the last time that I spoke to you, I was a single man, but I am married now. There's a ring on it. I only mentioned that this morning because so many of you have sent cards and gifts in the mail. And from my wife and I just want to say thank you. We are going to send thank you cards, but there are so many. And so she'll be moving to Austin officially today, and I wanted to make sure the little pitter-patter claps y'all here in the back is the choir. Whenever we get situated and she's all settled in, we'll make sure to send our love back to you. So thank you for sharing with us in our special day. Thank you, Ebenezer, for being so gracious, kind, and loving, and know that we love you dearly, and we cannot say thank you enough. I want to thank Pastor Freeman for this opportunity again to speak to you behind this most sacred desk, as many older preachers have called it, and I do not take it for granted. I want to thank him. I want to thank you all for this opportunity as well, because you could say that you didn't want to hear from me. But, we'll just pray together today. You heard the scripture lesson from Galatians 6. I want to reemphasize the 9th and 10th verse, which was our theme for today. But please know that I'll be referencing the entire scripture lesson for our hearing. But for now, let us read again verses 9 and 10 of the 6th chapter of Galatians, and it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." This is the word of our God. I'm battling whether I want to read directly from my manuscript this morning. Let me begin by stating something that one of our deacons said to me a while back, or one of the questions that he asked. He asked me in our media room, what did I like doing most? Whether I like preaching most, whether I like teaching with the choir or working with the choir, or whether it was serving with the youth and young adults. As you know, during this pandemic, we've been on limited staff, and so my response to him is that there is no greater joy for me than the other, that I enjoy all of the tasks all the same. The reason I say that on this Mission Sunday is to start where my manuscript begins, and that is, serving is not easy. Serving, as we know, in the church especially, can be very toilsome. It can be draining. It can wipe us out. Many of you know that a lot of our leaders in the church, and this is true for most churches, mega churches, small churches, backwood churches, all of the churches, that service is usually done with less than 10% of the congregants. That is, the same people that do one thing is usually the same that are doing another. And so I don't take service for granted, and neither should any of us. This morning, as we listen to what God has to say from us, to us, from the book of Galatians, let us remember, at least allow us to resonate with that word first. And that is, service is not easy. Not only is service not easy, but we should expect that there should be some kind of hiccups along the way. There are going to be things that we like and things that we dislike. And a lot of times, we're not going to know what God is doing until the task is over. Even if we plan 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year in advance, the plan can change. And we have to be ready for that. And so I begin this morning, and I will be quick. I won't stand before you long. Deacon Ellison has already reminded us about service, but I want to take a few lessons from the farm. Let me say, I know what y'all are thinking. I am from a small town. It is a town, though it is not the country, contrary to what the pastor and different ones from the city believes. Even though I am from a small town, it is not the country, and I did not grow up on the farm. I've told you before that my grandmother and my grandfather were both born of 17. And they had a lot of kids because they grew up on the farm, but I did not. I just want to make that statement. I don't know why. But there are some lessons that we can learn from being on a farm. But before I get to that point, the closest that I have gotten to the farm was usually in our town, you know, not the country, but in the town, was the county fair. And actually, wherever I am in the month of October, whether it was in school, whether it's here in Austin, wherever I may be, I always think about home at the end of October. And the reason is because that's right around the time where the weather starts to kind of chill out a little bit. That's when Halloween comes around. But for me, that's when I can remember and smell the smells and see the sights of the county fair. I can see people and smell people walking around with big old turkey legs. I see children holding cotton candy. I see the lights of the carnival. And I think about that whole experience of grade school and going to the fair with my teachers and then with my friends later on when I got my own car. You know, I thought I was something. I drove a 1991 Honda Accord, and it had leather seats with a sun, but it was still a 91. But anyway, I remember being on my own in a small town going to that fair. But the biggest thing that I remember about the fair, the takeaway from me, was the livestock in rodeo. And the reason why I remember it is because my friends raised animals and they were part of the FFA. And if you don't know what the FFA is, that's Future Farmers of America. And they wore these nice blue jackets with the gold, and it was like, I can't remember the materials, like a velvet material. It's a heavy jacket. And you see them all throughout the country. And I remember this particularly not just because of the large animals and how nicely they looked. You know, I was about to say something, but I ain't going to say it. I'm a meat eater, but you know. So as I got to the fair, some of y'all caught that, but I'll let you let it sink in. And so what I remember most with the animals that they were raising was the time and the dedication that they put in. It was grueling. And a lot of times I would come later in the evening once I had gotten out of school and finished whatever activities I had, and I would go to my friend's stalls, and they would be laying there on these big old cows. They would be babysitting these chickens and their pigs. And I would look at them like, who lays with cows in hay? And if you've ever laid or sat in hay, you know that it's itchy, is not comfortable, but their dedication, their commitment, their labor was impressive. Because at the end of the livestock show, they would sell these animals. They would give them away, not give them away, but they would give these animals to slaughterhouses or to people who would resell and breed these animals. And this was 3, 4, 5 years that they had invested in this living livestock. And this morning, that is one of the first things that I want to leave with you, and that is to take away some of these messages from the farm. And that is to know and to expect that the labor you give, the labor that you divulge into your work, that is to give into the world, whether it's serving people like Deacon Ellison said, whether it's giving money or water to homeless, whether it's giving your extra clothing to homeless shelters, know that it will pay off. But it's not easy. And if you go to a different part of the farm, if you go to the planting on a farm, which is where we land in our text today, when Paul, he tells us that what you reap, you will sow. The first thing that you should know in this giving of your time is that not everything will come into fruition. We get other parables about this in the Gospels where Christ says, as you throw the seeds, sometimes it's going to land on hard ground. And even in this moment, we know that sometimes our labor, no matter how much time we put in, no matter how much the mission and the brotherhood may work to make sure that things change in our community, the community looks the same. And not everything comes into fruition. Not everything grows. And that's hard to watch. It's hard to watch when you've planted and you've toiled into your children and your children don't turn out the way that you want them to. It's hard to watch when you've come to church over and over planning your time and people talk about you. It's hard to come to church when you are giving of your time and not only will people talk about you, but they go against the work that you are doing for the kingdom. It's hard to plant whenever you are trying all that you can to water and to make sure that you come back season after season to watch the things that you have invested in, and those things don't turn any fruit. Not only do they not turn fruit, but sometimes it starts to grow and withers in front of you. And what do you do then? The message comes back clear. Paul tells us, do not grow weary. Watch what you plant. In verses 7 and 8, Paul talks about some things that you plant. And whenever you plant those things, whenever you sow these things into the earth, sometimes it's not always good things. Listen, I was, I've sat in meetings before here at the church. Oh, help me, Jesus. You know, there'll be several people on the call trying to figure out how we're going to work out stuff. There'll be people sitting in meetings. And you know about this, Ebenezer, especially those that you have sat in Women's Day committee meetings and sat in the Men's Day committee meetings, deacon meetings, and trustee meetings. And somebody will say something out of line. Y'all say, like y'all won't say amen, but those of you at home know, listen, there are some times where you come and you try to give all that you can and you're planning, But it seems like other people are planning something different. And the reason why I say that is because Paul comes to us and he kind of gives us this, this kind of cadence, if you will. He tells us that those who have been planting seeds and those who are trying to reap a harvest are doing it because they have their own selfish ambitions. That is, they're not concerned about the kingdom of God, but they're more concerned about their own endeavors. They're more concerned about their own spirituality, if they have any. And then they're more concerned about how to make sure they're watching out what other people are doing instead of watching what they are doing themselves. Y'all know those people. Let me speak freely. Those people who talk all this talk but won't put anything into. And so with this, Paul says you have to be careful. He says this in multitude of ways because earlier in the chapter and earlier in the book of Galatians, he talks about these haters, if you would. He talks about these people who are Jewish and they have all of these customs. And then they would say that they're religious and that they're following the law. But even those people, these Judaizers is what most commentators call them. These Judaizers are not really following the law of Moses. What they're doing is picking and choosing what they think would be good for their own selfish ambition. And then they try to convert others into their whole little tribe that they have going on. That is, they try to get them into these cliques, as we call them, right? Only so that they can get people on their side and stir up more trouble. And Paul says in other books of the Bible or other letters that he writes, watch out for them dogs. And we know we have them dogs in the church. But not only that, he comes back and he tells us, Not only should you watch out for these things that you plant, but watch out for those other planters. Not everybody's planting the same thing. And then the last thing is be willing to give that of which you've planted away. After he encourages us, after he tells us to be not weary in well-doing, he goes on in verse 10 and he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The last part of that is because Paul gives us, or he knows, our transgressions. That is not in a negative sense of the word transgressions, not in this polemic way, but more so, Paul says, listen, I know that whenever you give alms to the poor and all that, it becomes a little straining. I get it. So instead, start first with the community of believers. If you don't have a lot to give, then give of your time in the church. And what should happen if you give to the church, whether it's your money, whether it's your time, whether it's your talents, when you do give to the church then takes those gifts and goes out to the community together. But it's not easy. This morning, we should be reminded of that, to not grow weary in well-doing. That is the message this morning for us, and that is what we should take away. And let me encourage some of you, just like I did in my prayer, and that is in your giving, in your service, if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, don't be deceived if men don't believe you. he will understand it better by and by. And listen, this morning, no matter who you are, no matter what it is that you're trying to do, if it's outside of the walls of the church, if it's inside of the walls of the church, do not be weary in well-doing. Oh my goodness. For in due season, at the proper time, just wait a little while longer and be encouraged, because the time will come where your produce will be harvested. And you can be encouraged by that. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is that you're praying for, do not be weary in well-doing. For in due season and at the proper time, I want to keep on saying that, because I know that sometimes, no matter how much effort you put into it, you can't see the light of day. But do not be weary in well-doing. For in due season and at proper time, no matter what the harvest looks like after it's all over, do not be weary in well-doing. For at proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Pray with me now. Oh God, our Father, whatever it is that you would have us to sow, we ask, oh God, that we may reap the benefits. And if it's not now, if it's not tomorrow, if it's not a month from now, allow us to have patience. Allow us to be watchful of the things that we put out into the world. Allow us to be watchful of others who are trying to plant in our gardens. Allow us to be givers of that of which we've planted. And then remind us, oh God, that the promise of the harvest is for your glory, not for our benefit. But if your name is glorified, then we have laid treasure up in heaven, knowing that you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But allow us to be encouraged in this season. Allow us to trust in you. And we know, oh God, that in due season, if we faint not, it will all come to pass. Bless us, oh God. Help us to go on from here. Allow us to seek to hear from you in all that we do and all that we say. And then in this moment, we pray, oh God, that you would bring somebody to this altar, the altars of their heart. And not only would this be done, but that they may come to know you better. Through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Receive now our invitation to discipleship.
Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.
As we close and come to our benediction, we pray that you've been touched by the message, that you've gotten a lesson from the farm, and that in this season, be encouraged. Know that the harvest is not always going to turn out the way that you want it to, but in due season, in due season, if you do not faint, there will be. There will be.
Yes, it will be.
A reward for you. Until we meet again, let us pray together. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve. We thank you, oh God, for bringing us through a year's worth of this pandemic. And now, oh God, as we aim to come back into this place together, we ask that we would search our hearts and our minds. We ask that we would search your word, that we may be transformed, to be patient, to be loving, to be kind, to be servers, to be farmers, to plant seeds into the world and to others, so that there may be a reward. And let that reward, O God, be Christ. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you glory, knowing that you have been uplifted. Bless us, O God, as we leave this place and as we depart online from one another. Through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.